Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Amongst Friends, the conversation for the grown and sexy. We're so glad to be with you tonight on our Amongst Friends show, where tonight we're talking about sex and what it means to a woman. Last week you joined us and we talked about what sex meant for men, and tonight we're on part two of sex, what it means for women. I'm your host tonight, Heather Owens, and I'm so glad to have with me Deirdre Robertson. Say hi, Deirdre.
Hello.
We have Joe.
What's up, y'all?
Patrice.
Hi, hello.
And PJ.
Hey, how's it going?
Tonight, if you want to join us for Blog Talk Radio and Amongst Friends, you can call us at 760-683-2662. Again, that number is 760-683-2662. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your thoughts, your comments concerning what sex really means for a woman. And tonight, we're just going to start out finding out from the ladies of Amongst Friends what sex means to them. So we're going to turn it over real quick to Patrice. And Patrice, what does sex mean to you for the Grown and Sexy tonight?
What does it mean to me personally? It means release. It means as a stress reliever. It means a lot of stuff, actually. And depending on where I am mentally, you'll get a whole nother answer. So basically, sex, honestly, is an extreme high bond that I can get with the guy that I'm with. The closest that I can imagine to him is what sex is to me.
Wow. But it does give you a release, huh?
Well, you know, if you're asking me, have I ever had sex before, then, you know, that's a whole nother show. I ain't giving you all my information. Well, let me tell you this. I will say, for the sake of the show, yes, from personal experience, it is a release. But it is also an experience, you know. It's an experience that you keep wanting to have all, you know, over and over again. And I just honestly think that it's extremely hard to come to, well, for some people, to find purpose, to find the purpose in it as far as let's make this into something, you know. I think a lot of it is used as play, you know, and I think that's where it gets kind of sticky.
Okay. And Deirdre, what do you think sex means for women and what does it mean for you?
Well, what it means for me is release. It's a serious release. Y'all don't even understand how serious that release is. For women, I believe that it is a tool to get exactly what they want. If I want him to be that right dude and act right and all this kind of stuff, I'm going to open up my legs and I'm going to give him some, and he is about to do exactly what I tell him to do.
Dang, that worked.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So you think that that works, that there is some level of control and manipulation with sex and women?
Of course it is. I mean, of course it is. I'm not saying that that's
that
necessary. I'm not saying necessarily that that's what I'm doing all the time for me, and I'm not having sex right now, so I got some pent-up stuff going on, and I need to hurry up and get married so I can do it every day, but I'm just saying right now, I'm telling you in past experience, sex for me was I need to get off. I mean, really, like, it'd be calling my name. It'd be saying, Deidre, come and get it right now. And
why
so
you
got
to wait till you get
really
married to have sex? Why do you feel like you have to wait till you're married?
Because my mommy is listening right now. She wants me to wait. No. Because of my spiritual beliefs, I need to wait so it can be legal, because it says that the marriage bed is undefiled. So I don't want to be sinning against God when I'm having sex. I just want to get it in.
Yes.
Oh, my. Well, that's interesting, Deidre. We're going to get to that tonight. I promise you, in these next 90 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about everything she just said. You can join us at 760-683-2662 and tell us what sex means to you. I just want to say that sex is a beautiful thing that I thank God every day for it.
Thank you, Lord.
I think what sex really means to me is an opportunity to express what I feel emotionally to the other person. It's my platform to say just how much I love you, just how much I'm attracted to you. It's an ego booster for a man, but it's also an opportunity just to express all those feelings that are bottled up on the inside. One of the roadblocks for me in sex is that I'm not able to just do it with anybody, anytime, anywhere. It has to be some kind of feeling or emotion attached to it. So that's where sex is for me. PJ, we're coming to you. What do you think sex means to women?
Well, I think, and I'm actually here also to learn, I think that sex to a woman is an expression of love, is an expression of emotion. I believe that it is a relief for a woman. I think society doesn't tell us or doesn't allow us to believe that women get a release off of it, but I really believe that. Also, I think sex is a way of emotionally connecting with her man or her lover or whatever we're going to call it for the time being.
Okay. And Joe, what do you think sex is meaning for a woman tonight?
What sex means for women? It means love. It means intimacy. It should mean pleasure. And for those ladies that's getting sex and not getting pleasure, I'm highly disappointed in you. And it means, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
I'm glad that you touched on that pleasure point, Joe, because we're going to talk about that tonight too. Because I think that that's very important. I think that'll be the big educational piece about tonight's show.
Indeed.
But what I want to go back to is something Patrice said about what women's mindset towards sex is. I know for me, and probably for most of my cohorts, we have been trained or taught that sex has some kind of negative or bad connotation, and good girls don't do that, and good girls don't, good girls don't masturbate, good girls don't give oral sex or receive oral sex, and sex is just for marriage, and some deep religious groups believe it's just for procreation, so it shouldn't be of any pleasure. But what are you all's thoughts about what's embedded in us as children or as young folks coming up about sex, instead of it being taught to us as a rich experience, as an opportunity to have that release, to have that kind of physical pleasure? What are your thoughts on that?
From a little girl, going back all the way back to my grandmother, stay in the yard. There's too many boys out there. What are you guys doing? Are you chasing the boys? What's going on? Are they chasing you? All I got from that was that all those actions, being, free to be friends with a guy and play with him and run and kick and not have to worry about a strict, guardian pulling you back, was that you honestly have to be reserved, and as a woman, and not put yourself in his face, in so many words. Honestly, I was one of the most sheltered little girls you ever want to meet. And for me to be pulled, my chain to be yanked, when that was the farthest thing away from my mind, and that really, really did something. It had something to do with, I cannot even look like I like you. I have to constantly pretend that I don't like you, almost to the point to where you might say, you know what, she hate me. She just hate me. And it was all from upbringing of stay away from the boys, you know, not even knowing why I had to stay away from the boys. So I can honestly say that coming from a little girl, my views developed into, I will not chase a man. I will not tell him I like him. He will growing and getting into adulthood, he will not know that I want to have sex. He will not know that I am feeling him. He will just not know that, because I have to stay reserved as a woman, and I have to be this girl, you know. So suppressing a whole lot of feelings, sexual feelings, where they're not dealt with. I'm not saying experienced and done, you know, but just to be dealt with, you know, what these feelings mm-hmm. are. What do I do with them? It called for a lot of hidden feelings, a lot of hidden of me exploring things that if somebody just had been open with me and not made it so quiet and dirty, then I would have been able to deal with them more freely, you know. But I had to wait till I got much older to be sexually free, liberated. And I honestly can say that it's pretty extreme. I mean, I don't blast it out to people I don't know, but with my close friends, you know, they gasp a lot when I say certain things, because now I feel liberated. You know, just to talk about it and deal with it, not to necessarily do it, but just to talk about it and to honestly right. not be judged by those feelings.
All right. Anybody else? What are your thoughts about our early teachings or training on sex as women? I know as a child growing up.
I want to say, can I say something real quick?
Sure.
As far as early childhood experiences or what have you, for me, the thing was, we didn't talk about it. It was very hush-hush. It was, you didn't hear anything about your family, your mom or your dad getting busy, or, you know, that it was good. It was, all you were told was, is fast girls lay down and good girls go to church and they keep their legs closed and that's it. And so then when someone came to you and brushed up against you or was playing hide and go get it or what have you, then you were like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, this is cool. And oh, wait a minute, I'm feeling a certain kind of way. And well, if he liked me, I guess I should go ahead and let him touch me there. But it was, for me, it was, we didn't talk about it. So when I was exposed to it, it was just like, oh, have your way. But then at the same time, in the back of my mind, I'm hearing all of the people tell me, you know, girl, you're nasty. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to wait till you're married. And then that's when you can do what you do. But they really didn't even say that.
Right, because you really weren't liberated to do as you felt like you needed to do. I know as a young girl growing up in a preacher's home and in and around the church, one of the big things for me that I've always gotten is that, you know, preacher's kids are the real freaky kids, and that, you know, this myth about they, you know, really go at it and everything. But I remember one thing that really, you know, always caught my eye was how people always try to hide sexual interaction or sexual behavior from children and make girls feel like it's not the proper thing to be sensual, to be sexual, to be in tune with that part of you to be in touch with that feminine part of yourself. And I think that it has created a burden for women and how they view sex as they grow. And so either you dive in and you attempt to discover. And sometimes that takes multiple partners, multiple relationships or experiences, or you have so many inhibitions that you really can't enjoy it, or your partner's not enjoying it. So, gentlemen, tell me, Joe, what has been your experience with women, and how do you relate that to how they were brought up to think or to view sex?
Well, I think a lot of women were, as you guys said, you know, they are raised to be the quote-unquote good girl. And then you have those who may have been exposed to things and they are looked at as fast or inappropriate or things like that. And I think for me, because I do believe in some gender stereotypes. I try to stay away from them because some stereotypes are judgmental, but I do believe that there are some stereotypes or some gender roles that should be taught to young boys and young girls, and I'll get into that a little later, but I think it's just general education. I think parents should teach both their son and their daughters, you know, about sexuality, about their anatomy, and I hate when parents teach pee-pee and wee-wee and poo-poo and all that stuff, you know, tell them what it really is kind of thing. And so you grow up, a lot of women grow up and they are, they're not given the truth from their parents, you know. They are taught keep your legs closed and, you know, but they see mama with her legs wide open and air spray eagle honey on her butt. They're taught keep your legs closed. You know, don't be fast. Don't be with that little boy. But mama, you got a different man over here every day. So you have, for some girls, you have that strict teaching, and you know their parents have this appearance of living the right code or living up to those standards. And then others, they get the same teaching. But they can see that their mother is clearly not a good girl, and she's unmarried as well. And so these young girls grow up with this confusion, and then they're taught by these inexperienced young boys, and, you know, and then they get caught up in a life of just dry, useless sex on their back, not understanding pleasure zones, things of that nature. And eventually, later on in life, or hopefully not after many partners, but for some, after many partners, then they get a chance to discover what real pleasure is. And by that time, it's too late. And they get married, and then they don't want to do nothing with their husband.
Thank you, Joe. Tonight, we want you to call in and give us your thoughts on what sex means to a woman and jump right in on our discussions. You can reach us at 760-638-2662. Again, you can call into Amongst Friends and give us your thoughts and comments on what sex means to a woman at 760-638-2662. Let's talk about how a female relates to her body sexually. I remember in my psychology classes, learning how women don't necessarily be, you know, last week we talked a lot about men and how every man at some point in life begins to masturbate and feel and touch themselves. And women don't necessarily always do that or get that engulfed in knowing the parts of their anatomy. And places where they can find their G-spot or the clitoris or pleasure zones of positions and different things of that nature. And how do you think that affects the mindset of a woman sexually? One of the big things that I remember learning in psychology is that once a woman knows her body and where those pleasure zones are, she's more apt to be able to have a better sexual experience. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it also takes a bit of confidence as well. Once you know your pleasure zones, you now have to be open to share that with somebody. And, again, you have to, you know, remember that I'm coming from a life of, what I just explained. So in now coming into the pleasure zones of my body, now I'm faced with the whole thing of, dang, how am I going to relay this to somebody without them knowing that I like sex, you know? So during that time, it was very, very challenging, because then you had to have confidence I was talking to Joe the other day about a woman's body and so on and so forth, and he was like, you know what, she has to be confident about her body. And I find that it then is another hurdle that we have to get over, and that is not being afraid to tell what our pleasure zones are to our husbands, so that they will know that they're there. Because remember, I'm still faced with the fact that I don't want you to know that I want to have sex. So although that is very odd to many, you know, to a lot, it's not, you know, because I just got over the fact that it was okay to want to have sex, you know. And now being liberated in that, then I'm, you know, faced with, well, dang, I'm embarrassed to tell them this here feels good and this should be here and this here. So it had to take confidence to bring me out of that, and to know that, you know, and honestly, this is the truth. I honestly, in my head, this is what's going on. They're going to think I'm a hoe if I tell them this feels good. They're going to think I'm a hoe. They're going to think that I'm a freak mama, and not knowing that that's what guys like, that's not what the girl that I was, you know. So that's how, basically I feel on that particular subject as far as the woman's body and whatever. I think you also have to have the confidence to relay that to your spouse as well to get to the next level. So it's a bit of a climbing thing, you know, when you've come from where I've come from on that subject.
But do you all think it's the woman's responsibility to know her body and to know what pleases her and to be able to convey that to her partner?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's both ways, male and female. You have to know, your body. Especially for women, you need to be able to, one, know what you like. Because how are you going to be able to ever communicate that to someone else if you don't know what you like? And then secondly, right, you have to understand that for a woman, it takes a little more, you know. It not all women, but most of them, it takes a little more for them to get to that place of pure pleasure, to get to that place of really enjoying sex outside of it being an emotional or a spiritual connection, but enjoying it physically, and not just I'm doing this job for my man, which, you know, that should be at the forefront of your mind as well, but you're also in it to get something out of it. And you can only do that if you're comfortable with sex as a woman, if you're comfortable with your body, if you're comfortable with enjoying those pleasures. Because some women get pleasure and they feel dirty. Like Tree said, you know, I don't want to feel like a hoe, and I think if I have this explosive, mind-blowing orgasm, I'm going to be dirty. And
it
prevents them from really having orgasms on all three levels.
And being relaxed when it's going on,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And
letting it happen. It won't happen.
Well, that's good information. I've always been a firm believer, and on Amongst Friends, we like to keep it personal, and you can call in and share your stories or your thoughts at 760-638-2662. Again, that number is 760-638-2662. But me personally, I believe it's very important for a woman to know her body and to know what feels good and what doesn't feel good and where those points are on the body that bring the most pleasure. I think that there's no offense given or taken when a woman says to a man, no, touch me here, or touch me, or, you know, don't touch me there, because it's I find that with men that I communicate with, that they say they enjoy a woman that does that, and they don't view her as someone who's been around the block a few times or that, you know, something is wrong with her, but that gives them an opportunity to really, you know, please her. And that's, I think, ultimately what they want to do. So just to, I got a few comments on Facebook, and so I just want to give the caveat right now that although Amongst Friends is a group of friends, and we all come from a, I want to say this very diplomatically, we come from a Christ-centered background, let me put it that way. Everybody does not believe they need to be married to have sex, so we're not going to be promoting that tonight. I'm not saying I'm for it or against it. I'm saying we're not promoting it here tonight. At least I'm not. That's not the mission, so I want to say that. And so you can feel free to call in. You can share your comments in the chat room, but we're not going to be sending people to hell for having sex. So we will be talking about spouses, partners, lesbians, gays, and all others. I hope that helps you, Facebook, because we are going to talk about it tonight. So, TJ, coming to you.
Yes.
As we move further in this, I just got this question on Facebook, and I couldn't think of anybody better than you. We were talking about women being in touch with their bodies. Do you think or believe that lesbianism, one of the motivators in that lifestyle, would be that women know what women like, women know how to please one another, and that makes it a better experience for women to come together? And is that also why men, I'm just reading the question, why men like to see two women have sex with each other?
Interesting.
Come on, PJ.
All right. I'll tell you what I think. I think that the explanation that you gave me about lesbians enjoying it because they know, here's what I think, and I might get crucified for it, but
okay.
Let me take a step back before I go forward. I think that religious sectors, I think a lot of us are wrong because we use guilt to control people. And then after you use guilt to control people and you let them go and you tell them they're free, they still have that bondage of guilt on them. For example, I've had sex with many a beautiful woman who does not feel like she's beautiful because she's carrying the guilt of what somebody else put on her to control her to not have sex, and that thing is still on her. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
I understand.
Let me finish my point. So a lot of times there may be a woman that has desires and she feels guilty because she has those desires. Those are sexual desires for a man are something natural. My grandmother used to always say it. She said boys and girls are supposed to like each other. They're supposed to be fresh. They're supposed to go somewhere and hide. You're supposed to go looking for them. That's what they were made for. And I think that when I'm going to get in trouble. I think when church people try to stop that natural reaction, then you start damaging people.
Yeah.
Then you start damaging people because it's okay for Susie to hang with Jamie. I won't feel guilty about that. But if Susie hangs with Sammy, then everybody's going to call me names. You see where I'm going?
Right. Right.
So now it's okay for Susie and Jamie to hang out together because nobody's going to make you feel guilty. Nobody's going to put that guilt on you. And sometimes people run into things running away from guilt.
Yes.
So whereas I have this desire for sex. I have this thing that I gotta get it out. All right? You know, I was by myself and I experienced an orgasm. I really want to see what happens if somebody else does it. But I can't talk to Johnny because they're going to make me feel bad. I can't spend the night over my girlfriend's house if she has a brother because, oh, no, that can't happen. But all of these girls, we can go together and we can go to the skating rink and we can spend the whole weekend together and nobody's going to say anything. And a lot of times, in those times are when people try things and when they like them. So to me, it just, I'm not saying it is right or wrong, but a lot of times homosexuality and lesbianism makes sense if you're trying to get away from the guilt. Because
it's
they're not going to make you feel guilty. Real talk. A lot of times they're not going to make you feel guilty if you're hanging with the guys and you're a guy. They're not going to make you feel guilty if you're a girl hanging with the girls. So, yes, I think that you know each other's body better, but I think that the way it was designed was for a man and a woman. But because there's so much guilt associated with that, I mean, why do it? Why do it if you're not going to make me feel guilty for hanging with my girlfriend until it's way too late? Until, you know, until we almost marry.
Right.
You understand? And that's the angle that I look at it from. Because I know, even myself growing up, you know, God made sex, and I don't know very many religious groups that equipped their young people for their hormones. And I think, you know, you can't make people do things. You can only prepare them. And I think that a lot of religious groups still don't prepare their people for this rush of hormones, your desires, and everything that comes with it. A lot of times it's easier to try to control somebody with guilt. So my answer is, you know, in the pursuit of getting away from guilt, certain connections are made. And I think a lot of lesbian connections are made is because, well, I'm ashamed of my body around him, and I'm ashamed of my body around him, but I'm not ashamed of my body around her, because nobody, they are going in over here on this blog site.
Oh, yes, they do. That's why
one girl
said,
I cannot do the girl-on-girl thing because I do not like the taste of other pussy. Well, you go ahead. I just had to read that.
Wow.
I'm sorry. But my point is, as you're running away from guilt, I think a lot of times religious groups make lesbians. I think religious groups make homosexuals.
Wow.
Because they do not equip us for heterosexual relationships. They do not equip us for heterosexual relationships. And I don't know one group that does it.
I totally. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on anything you're hearing tonight or what you feel about tonight's topic of what it means, what it means to a woman, please dial in at 760-683-2662. We're eager to hear what you have to say. Again, that number is 760-683-2662. And I think we're bringing up some very interesting topics. Another thing that I'm seeing here on my chat here on Facebook, that people are asking, does sex secure a relationship for women, and why do women still believe that it does? I know Deirdre earlier spoke about having sex, opening her legs to perform sexual acts with a man to get him to do what she wants him to do. Deirdre, why don't you expound on that a little bit tonight, and we'll talk about that.
Okay, first of all, let me say that has never been my purpose. My purpose when I open my legs is for me to have an orgasm. I just want to make that clear. But what I'm saying is, if we're going to talk about sex and we're going to talk about what it means to women, we need to point out that some people lay down and they open up their legs because they're trying to control the man. I've seen a couple of video blogs where they say pussy rules the world. We just got to know how to handle it. But society has, or religious, we've been raised to believe that a woman's purpose is to produce children. If you look back in biblical days, when you talked about premarital sex, it talked about when men would rape the women or whatever, it was like they were stealing the father's property. So back in the day, women were considered property. And I just want to make, I want us to be clear when we're saying, you know, women are using sex to get what they want.
Okay, PJ, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I need to interject something here. A woman's sexual purpose is not just for procreation, because there's a thing called a clitoris, and it has no reproductive function. The only function of the clitoris is pleasure.
Amen.
That is the only function of it. So it's a lie for anybody to think that a woman's only purpose in sex is childbirth. And this may sound funny, and people might not be able to handle this, but God created sex, and he wants us to love it. And somebody religious has got the game all twisted up. And religious people are the ones who are not enjoying sex, and other people are. That's a real, real – well, we got to do another whole show on that. But that's a real, real problem.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, because I've experienced women, older women, when I was a teenager in church, sitting around at a women's retreat, saying that they – that you know, different types of sex, oral sex, or you know, different kinds of acts of sex were now, you know, ended in their marriage because they learned that their mouth is solely for praise.
Oh! Can I please go there tonight? Oh, particularly you jumping ahead. Listen.
You jumping too far ahead.
But look, I know that the time is drawing for us. But this is what I want to say about that. We do ourselves a disservice. I cannot. This is not a promotional thing or anything, because I'm not even going to say the name. But that's why I love my church, because the church, not my particular church that I go to, but the church as a whole has done a disservice to people when we have tried to box in sex and play it down and diminish its value to human relations and human relationships. Because what I know about sex, based on the statistics of the amount of abortions that happen in the United States, and especially those among African Americans, by the amount of sexually transmitted diseases and so forth and so on, and the pregnancies of teens and unwed parents and all of that, that we're still having sex. So clearly, painting it as bad or making it out to be something that it shouldn't be or that you shouldn't do, you can't do, people are clearly having sex. We have a caller that is calling in. We have Gina from Maryland. Gina, are you on the line? Hello, Gina. Okay, well, we'll get back to our callers. You can feel free to call in at 760-683-2662 at any point in time. What are you all's thoughts about women finding pleasure in sex? I know that I have heard a lot and seen a lot where women have faked the orgasm. Men, tell us, can men really tell if a woman is faking an orgasm?
I can tell if my wife doing it. I don't know about any woman.
I'm going to tell you right now, here's the secret. You can tell if a woman is faking an orgasm is right where the physical part of where your penis is. And if your penis ain't there, your tongue is there. If your tongue ain't there, your finger is there. And that's that vagina. That don't tell no lies. That thing's going to pulsate, jiggle, wiggle, move. Something's going to happen.
Oh.
It's coming. And you can't lie about that one. Now, if you're just going by a whole bunch of screaming and all of that, you got to look at the physiological changes. Her heart rate changes. Her breathing changes. Her eyes roll up. Her legs might shake. But all of that happens. And maybe she could fake that, but you can't fake that. Paul Satan. I'm going to try to say that as clean as possible. You can't fake that. You can't fake that tightening up.
Wow. We have Niecy on the line. She's calling in to us from Texas. Niecy, are you there? Welcome to Amongst Friends.
Yes, thank you. I just had a comment in, not contrary to what the brother was saying as far as religious people, but I think uninformed or unknowledgeable religious people may have changed different things. I personally, not saying religiously, I have a daughter that's 12. Now, there are certain things, I mean, I'm one of those parents. I do keep it real with my daughter, and the reality is, you know, at the end of the day, people do what they want to do. But I don't want to prematurely expose her to whatever. Yes, I do tell her the reality of sex and the ramifications that come with that. Do I want her to be having sex without being married? I don't. But I can't say she is, and I can't say she isn't. But at the same time, I think in educating your children about the ramifications, because whether we know it or not, you know, I don't think, just honestly, that it's productive not to tell your children or to fill their heads up with lies about, oh, this is bad or whatever, because like you said, it's natural. God created it, and if God created it, it's good. You know, ain't nothing wrong with that. But there's a time and a place for everything, and at the end of the day, you do have to be honest and real with your children. Now, if you're ignorant and you don't know, you're going to give your kids the best that you have. But if you know, be informative and let them know. Now, there are ramifications that come with having sexual intercourse or being intimately involved with people. You don't want to do that with any and everybody. You know what I mean? So that's one of the comments that I'd like to make just in respect to what you said. I don't want to say I'm religious. I think I'm knowledgeable of who God is. And, yes, I do believe in some things and some things that I don't. But I think you just have to be real with your kids and teach them the time, place, you know, and just being real with them about all of the things that comes along with being intimately involved with people.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys for letting me come in.
Keep listening. Absolutely. And Nisi brings up a good point about there is a time and a place and there are consequences, and women have emotional attachments, I believe, that come along with sexual activity. We have another caller that's on the line with us, Gina from Maryland. Gina, welcome to Amongst Friends.
So much. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you guys hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I have to get back to the lesbian thing. I know you all got past that. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. The excuse, I often hear the excuse about women knowing women's bodies better and things like that. Now, I'm a straight woman, and, I mean, I have no desire to be with a woman. However, the excuse that TJ gave of a woman, you know, women hanging out together, and I can be comfortable in my skin with this girl, is so far from the truth. We judge each other more harshly than any man ever would. So the natural, if that's the excuse, then we're going to be with the man, because pretty much as long as we have that confidence that you all talked about earlier, then we're fine. We don't have a problem getting a man. But to be with a woman, you know, it's not, I can't see that that's that much, that would be comfortable, because we judge one another so harshly. We don't like the way her clothes look. We don't like, she got a funny shape of her body. Her hair don't look right. So I don't think that that is a viable excuse. I think that people have sexual desires, and there's no excuse to be made for it. Some people want to be with the same sex, and some people want to be with the opposite sex. Some people go with what they were taught. Some people go with what they feel.
Yep.
And that's all I want to say about that.
Well, thank you, Gina. We thank you for calling in. We appreciate your comments, and I definitely understand what Gina is saying, and I think that there are a plethora of reasons not necessarily excuses, but reasons why people dive into homosexual and heterosexual relationships. And I think we will have a topic on that very soon, just general conversation, not to alienate, but to be very inclusive in that conversation. I'm going to get to our amongst friends, but we have another caller on the line. I believe we have LaVon from D.C. Welcome to Amongst Friends.
Hey, friends. How are y'all doing?
Hi.
Good. I just wanted to make a comment to what PJ was saying. A lot of times we want to blame someone for what's going on in our own dysfunctions. And I think it's very unfair that the church does play a role, but I don't think that we should put the blame on the church for what we've heard or what they've taught us. The church has also taught us about tithing. The church has also taught us about love, but we don't always act in those characteristics. I think that a lot of things are emotional, and a lot of times we have used things for not what they're worth. We've perverted things. And so that's why when you get to the true love of your life, you cannot display the proper love and affection for it because you've already misused it and mishandled it. I'm not saying that sex is right before marriage or after marriage. I'm just saying let's not exploit the church and say they did it. Let's say that we made some decisions and we chose to do what we wanted to do. And so when we misuse it and abuse it and then it doesn't come out how we wanted to, then we want to come back and say it was somebody else. No, it was us, and we did it.
Well, thank you, LaVon, for those comments. I'm going to go to Joe because he wanted to talk something about Gina's comments concerning lesbianism. And so after Joe, we're going to come to PJ. Joe?
I think, one, just there's so much good information coming through, and that's the wonderful thing about people's about opinions is that you can pull and take from them what you want and leave what you want behind. But I wanted to comment, one, on the whole lesbian and the homosexuality thing, just in respect to knowing each other's body. If you teach someone, if you learn about your own body first, then you have the capability to learn about somebody else's. So it's not about whether a female knows a female or a male knows a male. It's about this person knowing themselves and being willing to learn about this other person and that person being willing to teach. And so I feel as though, you know, if you like what you like, desires, whatever you want to call it, you like what you like, that's you. But it's not, please believe me that a man could please a woman just as better as a woman can please a woman and vice versa. That's my comment on that. And as far as the whole idea about the church, I think that the problem is, no, we can't blame everything on one single entity. You can't blame it all on the church. You can't blame it all on parents. You can't blame it all on the individual. And matter of fact, we need to just remove blame, period. What needs to happen is that they recognize that there is a problem and then come up with a solution. And for me, the solution is, one, that you teach people in realness. You teach them what sex is. You teach them what sex, you know, the ramifications. You teach them the pleasures. You don't hold anything back, but you teach them in a safe and caring and loving, nurturing environment. Because what you won't teach at home or what you won't teach in the church or what you won't teach in school, we will learn out on the streets. We will learn from movies. We will learn from books. We will learn from experiences. And those are the things that lead us down the wrong road. And I totally, fully agree with PJ when people, just people in general, when we put guilt on people to control them, we destroy them. We absolutely destroy them, and that leads them down the wrong road. So if we remove blame and we replace it with solution-focused ideas and solution-focused principles, we can change the world. And I see no reason why, even in the church, why good sex and good, wonderful, amazing sex can't be taught right there in the church, or why it can't be taught in the home. And if you teach your children value, if you want them to wait, you teach them. You teach them the importance and the rewards of waiting until you're married, instead of just saying, wait till you're married. If you don't, you're a hoe, or you're nasty, or you're disgusting. And that's where we fall short as a people, as a society. That's where we fall short. You're welcome.
Please call in and share your comments and your thoughts at 760-683-2662. PJ, you wanted to say something about what we're talking about tonight. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to respond to the two callers, Gina, and I don't remember the other lady's name.
LaVon.
LaVon, okay. LaVon. Let me say this. And if I'm wrong, please give me some names. But I have been to almost every, well, I won't say that. I've been to a lot of churches, not just in Maryland, D.C., all over the world. And very few teach about sex, with the exception of abstinence. Very few teach about sex. Very few prepare you. And I think, And when I say that, you know, and I'm not saying for every situation, and I don't want anybody to be, you know, too overt and say that I'm blaming, you know, an entire religious, you know, institution on what people want to do. People are going to do what they want to do, and I gave a disclaimer, and I said one of the things that happens is this. Now here's the other thing, and here's where I am. Parents need to be the biggest influence.
Absolutely.
Because parents are the first teachers. And I understand that there is a lot of things out of here. But I think that we have to train our children the best that they can. And the Bible says that when they're old, they won't depart from it. And I think that when we as parents train our children right, they may go astray. But... you know, I don't think they will totally depart. Some of them will, some of them won't. But I think that the parents need to be the biggest influence. And we can't wait until something happens and then put a judgment on it. And that's where I personally have the problem. I think that we ought to be proactive in preparing before your hormones come up and take over you. Before a young lady wakes up one day and she's bleeding and she doesn't understand it, I think that we as parents, and especially Christian parents, need to prepare our children for that. My daughter is very young, but my first daughter had her first period around 8 or 9 years old. So I'm preparing my 7-year-old. For I don't know when it's going to happen. I'm preparing my 7-year-old. Some people don't agree with me. That's fine. I would rather for my children to be prepared and make a decision than to be ignorant and fall into something and have to learn after the damage is done.
I absolutely agree with you on that, PJ. Where I stand to disagree with you is that the church probably has not heretofore taught on sex, but I don't necessarily feel like it's the church's role. I think that there is some influence that they should have in that arena, but I do not believe that it's the church's role to
teach sex.
But I believe what you're saying very clearly about it being something that should begin in the home and should translate across the board into other areas of life, and there's definitely a connection amongst what we're talking about and how it relates to life. Patrice, something you wanted to share with us on this, what he was talking. Go ahead.
Just real quick on the two things. As far as the church, blaming the church thing, I don't, again, like you guys are all saying, I don't think that it's cool to 100% blame the church. But I do think the church needs to take responsibility, their part in the responsibility of what was incompletely taught. I'm not even going to say taught wrong, but was incomplete. A lot of and same thing with tithing. If you want to go there, that's being taught incompletely as well. We're scaring these people into tithing because we want to get the bills paid instead of just trusting God. And so all of that, it honestly plays a part. I think that a huge responsibility has to be taken by everybody in being taught about sex wrong. And that gets me to the parents part real quick. As far as parents and being afraid to know when to talk to your kids, I've been a youth leader for years. And what I have honestly taken from young people across the board is that not only do they open up so widely when you let them know it's okay to have feelings of wanting to have sex, but where we come into the problem, leaders and parents, is that we honestly want control. We don't want to tell them too early because we're actually trying to control the situation. And when we finally realize that people are going to do what they want to do because they have a free will and a free choice, because that's what God gave us, which also explains liberty, you know, that we're not even allowing them to partake in liberty. So we are so scared that they're going to do the opposite of what we tell them, you know, what we don't want them to do, that we honestly withhold valuable information from them in hopes that they won't do it. And what do? They get pregnant at 13, you know. And I've seen this across the board. Again, I've counseled kids from ages 5 to 21, and this is what I've seen. So I honestly do want to say, parents, I understand the whole being scared, but at the same time, you have no control over that. No control. They are a person with individual thoughts, just like you, and you honestly have to give them a chance to choose.
Thank you, Therese, for those comments, and you can call in and share with us at 760-683-2662. Again, that's 760-683-2662. We have Ed on the line from Texas, and we welcome you to Amongst Friends. Ed, how are you tonight?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Ed, we're talking about sex and what it means to women. What are your thoughts and comments tonight?
Well, I was just listening to some of the comments that were made about, you know, whose responsibility it is to further the child's education about sex. And I feel like I grew up in a time period where it wasn't PC to really talk about it. And then I see a lot of people in my age bracket, you know, going through life not knowing, you know, what to do. There's a lot of, you know, unprotected sex. There's a lot of, there's even a lot of, like, you know, things going on that people just don't know about. You know, and I feel like that if parents are open and honest and true with their children and let them know that this is what's going on, this is what it's about, that a lot of the ignorance that's happening nowadays will stop, because, you know, we can't be hush-hush about the situation. We have to gain, you know, knowledge every single day. We have to talk to our children. We have to let them know, this is what's going on. This is how you protect yourself. I work in a field where I see lots of African-American women who out there, they are, you know, out having sex, not using protection. And they are, you know, it's HIV running rampant, you know, with the African-American female and as well as the male. And I think that this needs to be talked about. I think that if the situation was talked about at home, you know, a lot of this can be actually curtailed. We shouldn't depend on the church to educate our children and let them know what's going on. It's the parents' responsibility. And as far as, you know, the women, I really feel that, you know, sex for a woman, it's something, it means a lot more than it does to a man. So, I think that, you know, that's what I was saying. Parents are going to have to educate the children be honest, be open, and be upfront about the situation. Just need to be embarrassed, because if you're embarrassed and don't talk about it, it's not going to save a life. Bottom line.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ed. We appreciate you calling in and giving us those comments, because Ed is absolutely right in what he's talking about. And we're going to keep this conversation focused tonight on what sex means to women. We'll have other conversations about the education of sex and what we need to know. But a few things we want to reach tonight is the emotional attachment that women put on sex, sex after marriage or once you're in a relationship, and oral sex. And that's where I want to go tonight. Right now, front and center, I want to talk about oral sex. And I'm not just talking about your mouth on the penis or mouth on the vagina, but I'm talking about mouth all over the body, the nipples, everything that you can do with the tongue and how that enhances a sexual experience for a woman. Now, let me just say, it's no secret that I'm not a virgin. I have a beautiful 11-year-old son, and I don't have no husband, and I've never had a husband. So now you figured it all out, you know. But I can say that I have found that the pleasure the mouth brings to a woman's body in multiple areas is one of the heights in a sexual experience for a woman. How do you all feel about oral sex, how women view oral sex, and what are some of your thoughts behind that?
Well, coming from a woman. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Patrice.
Coming from a woman, I think it depends on the experience that you've had with it. As far as I'm concerned, I have not, you know, I have yet to experience somebody, I guess, to do it correctly. And me not knowing that they weren't doing it correctly until later, it really, it's very frustrating, very, very frustrating. So actually, I can honestly say, coming from a woman's point of view, I think that it has a lot to do with her past experience with it.
Can I say something? Hold up. I don't think that it's fair to say that a man didn't do it correctly or whatever. I mean, that's the whole point of being able to know your body. I mean,
In the beginning, you do not. In the beginning, you honestly have to say you do not go into it on your first time having sex. And, okay, lick here. Okay, now move over here and lick straight up. Okay, that's not realistic. So, honestly, you have been in this physical act for some time to come to the realization, oh, I'm supposed to know my body. Now I can tell him how to do it. But by the time you get to the point to where you're frustrated and you're no longer even, you don't got to do that, man. You ain't got to go there. That's completely different. So, you know,
I get what you're saying, Deirdre, but I think to validate what Patrice is saying, a man can do it wrong. Now, you can correct him and you can redirect him. You can nurture the situation, but it's just like a woman who's sucking a man's penis and your teeth keep scraping him. You're doing it wrong.
You might be sucking,
but if your teeth getting in the way,
where do I get my credit card number?
But what I'm saying I understand all that, but just like a man who's getting his dick sucked and the girl is scraping his dick with his teeth, he knows what he likes and he doesn't like. What I'm saying is that we as women, we have to be okay with touching ourselves and saying, okay, my clit is what gives me pleasure, and if I keep rubbing it a certain way, if I do this or I do that, then it's going to make me come. And I need to be able to be okay with my body so that when a man comes up to me and he's licking and going all fast and sucking and all this kind of stuff, and I can be like, whoa, whoa, Slim, pump your brakes. That ain't what you're doing right now. I'm going to need you to lick it just like this. Let me take your hand. Matter of fact, no, let me show you what you need to do. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying, I just want us to be able to be okay with our body so that we can communicate what's good for us instead of saying, well, I ain't never had nobody do it right. Okay, well, did you do it right for yourself? Did you even find out?
A lot of women have to be taught that, Deidre. A lot of women have to be taught that. You know, just because it came natural to some Okay, honey, go ahead and talk. Lord Jesus.
No. What I was going to say is the drawback to that, though, is that you can definitely show somebody and teach them, but what a man does initially, I've never experienced a conversation prior to oral sex. You know, it sort of just was the general progression of things. And so what he may have been able to do to please someone else or how he is apt to doing it, haphazardly or whatever, I think that it's valid to say that if someone is doing something wrong, yes, we want to redirect. However, it can be, and you have to be in touch with you. And sometimes you can be in touch with you and not really be able to manipulate that person to do it that way. Now, that may be their last time getting that opportunity, but nonetheless, it is what it is. But, men, I want to hear from you all about
I have a quick question. I have just a real quick question. So Are we not talking when we're having sex? We're just hitting it and he licking and it's just a ooh and a ah and that's it and you're not saying nothing? So
what, some people aren't talkers.
I'm saying, are y'all not saying, is the conversation during sex strictly, ooh, this feels good, or oh, yeah, and all this kind of stuff, and that's it, and you're not saying, I don't like that?
Go ahead, Joe.
I'm just going to say it depends on the people. It really does depend on the two people in the relationship having sex or the two people just having sex, whatever. If you're communicating comfortably about sex, then you are having conversations. During sex, if it's good, you might just be, your conversation just going to be, this is good, or tear this up, or whatever your conversation during sex is. But I think before and after and sometimes even during, you should have open communication. But if you're having great sex, you ain't doing too much talking. It is going to be a whole bunch of primal noises. Unless you're saying, oh, stay right there, don't move. Oh, man, you hit me. There it is, right there.
Joe, put the whole role playing.
What about the role playing?
I'm all daddy.
Yeah.
I want you to pull my hair. I want you to call me a bitch.
Yeah.
I want you to go off.
But you're not saying, okay, now this is what I want you to do. I want
you to take your penis
and put it in my vagina. Yes, and move kind of slowly now. And baby, did you like that? Oh, yes, I did, and I'd rather enjoy that, beautiful. How about now that I take my finger and I touch your... Like, you ain't doing all that. You say, man, put your finger right here, or put it in my pussy, or whatever you're saying. Suck that big... Well, I don't know what you're saying, but you're not having a full-out conversation, you know, if it's great. Now, if it's boring, then maybe, yeah.
Okay, so let me throw these two questions out that we get from the chat room. The first is, how important is oral sex to a man in relationship? So is it a deal breaker if you're just having regular intercourse and flips and ducks and no oral sex, they're not giving you head? And then, ladies, the question is, how do you pull the teeth back when performing oral sex? My Lord. Okay, gentlemen, how important is oral sex?
It's very important. It's very important. I'm sorry. It's number one. Because like we talked about last week, there are more than one orgasms for men and women, and not in maybe where they come from, but we're talking about the intensity of the orgasm, and those intensities are different based on what you're doing. For women, beautiful thing is that you guys can have multiple orgasms without a restart needed. Whereas for guys, sometimes we do have to have a restart. Sometimes we don't. It depends on the situation. Depends on whether we ejaculate or we have an orgasm. But for women, you can have multiple ones, and I think that's when I know you having great sex, when you're tapping into your special gift, and that's a multiple orgasm every session. But anyway, back to what we're talking about. Head is very important in the relationship for a man or for this man, and good head. Now, if you're giving bad head but you're having good sex, then I'm not going to trip. I'm just going to be like, okay, that's going to be something we're going to be having a conversation about, because I don't mind having a conversation about having great sex. But
I just want you to go back to talking about women.
I'm saying, because there are some women that enjoy oral sex. Like, it's sexually pleasing for them to have oral sex with their man. And vice versa, for some men, I ain't going to say no names, but it begins with a J, they enjoy giving oral sex to their woman. It's sexually pleasing to them. And, you know, I think everyone should enjoy doing it, or at least get into the mood of doing it, or talk about why you don't like giving it. And that's the part that will make it better oral sex and great oral sex, is if you're having a conversation of why you may not like doing it. And especially
okay.
for women, it's...
Thank you so much, Joe. If you're listening to us and you'd like to call in and share with us tonight your thoughts on sex and what it means to a woman, 760-683-2662 is the dial-in number. Again, that number is 760-683-2662. Call in, because we're talking about sex and what it means to a woman. Another question that we had from the chat room, and we are talking about sex and what it means to a woman, was how can you perform oral sex and manage the teeth situation? Does anybody want to address that, Deidre?
Yeah, Deidre.
Help us, Deidre.
What you know?
Well, I'm going to say this. You better learn how to control. A little bit of teeth is okay, lady.
I heard PJ say practice covering your teeth with your lips.
Yes.
Okay.
Just recognize,
okay.
Would you want my teeth scraping on your clit?
Oh, my.
Now, nibbling is different than a full-on bite.
Lord.
I don't want to be bit.
Okay.
I don't want to have to put nail spawn on my penis at the end of the session. Just like you wouldn't want to put nail.
Wait, hold up. In the comment, in the chat room, it was said that a woman has so much more control when she's giving oral.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very true.
That's hella true. Especially if she's giving good. If it's good, I don't have nothing to say. I do what you want.
Okay. So one of the other points, we're going to shift the conversation, and we appreciate your feedback and your comments in the chat room, on Facebook, and calling in through the blog at 760-683-2662. Again, please call in and share your comments and your thoughts on tonight's topic of what sex means to a woman, 760-683-2662. Another thing we wanted to touch on tonight was sex and the decline of it. For women after they're in a committed relationship, such as marriage or, exclusivity, a lot of men say that sex declines. One of the things that I've always said, especially when it concerns marriage and the family, women are far more emotional about sex than men are, and they have an emotional attachment to it. And so when other areas are not... address, it's very hard for them, I believe, to perform sexually, whereas for a man, their emotions and what's going on is not always connected to their need for sexual activity. What are your thoughts about that?
Definitely. As far as some women, it is extremely difficult to perform when your emotions are another thing, when you are not able to separate sex and love, for one thing. A lot of women actually do connect love with sex, and they don't have sex without love. So, you know, that's my plug on that one.
I know for me, go ahead, Joe.
No, I'm just going to say, because I want to hear Heather talk, but I was just going to say that I think it declines depending on the motives of the woman. Not just that, no, let me not just say motives. It's probably a few factors. Mainly it depends on motives, age, how they were sexually before they got married, and or it could just be other factors that are other external factors like finances, communication, relationship issues, et cetera, work issues can all play a role, not just for women but for men. But speaking to women, I think, one, if it's their motive that, okay, if they got the whole mindset that now that I got you, I've given you all the sex that you could want because I felt that that is what was going to get you. Now that I have you in a committed relationship, I can be who I really am, and sex really isn't that important to me. So that's what I think with, if you come in on that side of the thing, age. If you're older, ladies, and actually it's kind of statistics change, but if you're older, they say your libido increases, and you get, and your man, as he gets older, his libido decreases. And so where for me, I just feel like it's different folks, different strokes. So it may be a hormonal issue that you may need to check up on why sex has declined once you've gotten married. Maybe it's a hormonal issue, or maybe it's something psychological. We, you know, you have to really kind of look at it from those different standpoints.
Okay, we have a call on the line, and we'd love for all of you all to join us. Feel free to call in at any point in time this evening. We'd love to have you. We have Melanie on the line for Texas. Melanie, welcome to Amongst Friends.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're great.
Hi. Great.
Hi.
Melanie?
So, yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just calling in to comment on the comment or the question about women when they get into a committed relationship or a marriage about the decrease in sex. I'm not going to disagree with the emotional thing with the women because some women are like that, but I think that a lot of it, and this isn't to dog out some guys or anything, but I think that a guy, you know, when you're dating and stuff, I think a guy kind of does what he has to do to get you and turn you on and stuff. And then when they get married, I think that actually the guys don't perform as well.
Wow.
Dang.
Wow.
I mean,
well, you know, Melanie,
you know what I'm saying? We all get comfortable, yeah, and we all may gain a little weight or do this or do that. But I think that the guys, they just, you know, I got me a girl and roll over and hit it, and I really ain't got to do anything impressive. And so that
wow.
makes sense.
Wow.
It absolutely does, and it actually sheds a whole new light. And not just that, I think, Melanie, we thank you for calling for your comments, and you too can call in and share your thoughts and comments on tonight's show, What Sex Means to a Woman, at 760-638-2662. I think Melanie is absolutely right, not just sexually, but I know as a woman it's very difficult to feel sexually attracted to a man who's not doing what he's supposed to do. And when I say that, I don't just mean sexually, but I mean within the home or within the relationship. There's certain things that we do to get what we want and to get a certain response out of one another. And sometimes I think that men do become lackadaisical in their abilities or their responsibilities concerning their mate, and that makes it difficult to show affection and love, especially sexually. I think once you're married, you have kids, and life begins at another level, you have to really create a scenario that is inviting and I guess that will allow that kind of sexual interaction to happen. And if we're concerned about money, bills, cheating, in-laws, bad kids, more kids, any of those things, sex is just not going to hit the list. So I think that that is
right.
a very great point. What are you all's thoughts about that?
I didn't know that was going on. And quite frankly, it's very depressing. I didn't know that that was possible even. I didn't think that men, honestly, you know, lowered their performance rate after marriage because they feel like they don't have to impress you or whatever. I have never heard that before. I'm lost for words on that one.
I just think that it's like here again, it depends on the motives of the people. It depends on the attitudes and the beliefs. Because if you got two people that understand the importance of great, amazing sex and they're communicating that to their spouse, then you won't have that problem. It really just is a matter of communication for me, and that's probably one of the biggest things that I will promote, is that if you are communicating about everything and it's open and it's honest and it's not blaming and it's not judgmental and it's done in love, I'm telling you, you can experience a wonderful relationship, but you can experience an explosive sexual relationship, man and female. Get it out your head that you don't have to do what you did to get them. So you have to do the same thing you did to get them. What, sex?
Can I divorce him if he does that? I'm sorry. Can I divorce him?
No, it's your responsibility to stay there and work it out.
No, it is not. Okay, because it's a bald-faced lie. It's like you marrying me, telling me you one thing, and then we tie the knot, and then you're something else. Isn't that a lie? Like, can I get out of the marriage?
No, because what you'll realize is that, you know, people are still growing. Some people are still growing as you get married.
Oh, hell no. There's no way in the world that I'm going to marry a guy and his sex performance differs because he just doesn't feel like he has to impress me anymore and it drastically changes. No, I'm sorry. I'm out the door.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
What if he's trying to impress you, but his age just catches up with him? Or what if he's working two jobs and he just can't do what
different.
He's doing?
That's completely different. We can deal with that. I'm talking about an out blatant, I'm used to you and I'm comfortable and I'm going to just roll over and you just going to become that now. No, that's not going down. No,
well,
sex is extremely. Okay, go ahead.
Well, no, I get that. I think that, you know, one of the things that I want us to touch on real quick tonight before we go, because we're getting close to time, and if you want to call in and share your thoughts, 760-638-2662 is the number to call. The emotional attachment that women have, can women have casual sex? And we have a comment from Facebook that says that sex does not secure a relationship. And that's absolutely true. I totally agree with that comment. But can women have casual sex? Can women just have sex and get up and no emotional attachment, no calling and playing on a dude's phone or expecting them to call them the next day? How do women operate in those kinds of scenarios?
They can't do it. Something comes up with them. I'm a firm believer that women shouldn't be out here having casual sex. What?
Anybody else have thoughts on that?
I would like to hear from the women first.
Well, I totally agree with Joe. I don't believe that women can have casual sex and that women can just have sex and walk away and it just be they just wanted to get theirs off that night or whatever. I don't believe in that.
Well, I do.
I don't believe they were created that way. I don't believe we are humanly made up that way. And I believe that women that confess that, something has happened along the way where they have built a wall of protection. They have decoded something and rewired something in their brains to believe that it's okay and it's acceptable to them. And ultimately, it's not. Now, that's what I believe.
I don't agree with that. But that's because, but we already knew that in the first place. I believe that if a woman, you know, like we have, I have a comment from somebody else that, you know, for casual sex, it works both ways. Women can go just as hard as men do because they're not caught up in the, oh, it has to be all about feelings or anything like that. Sex is just a physical thing. It's a release. I need to get this off of me so that I can be productive or do whatever it is. And I'm going to call up a dude and be like, yo, I want some. Are you available? And I'm going to go over there and I'm going to get some and that's going to be it. And I'm going to get up and leave and go home. It doesn't have to be about closing the door on something emotional or something like that. It is just, I want to be touched. I want him to lick it, stick it, and flip me and throw me up and carry me around and do whatever. And then when he's done, I can go home and I can get in my bed and suck my thumb because we did a great thing. That's it. It doesn't have to be all about the emotions or whatever, this, that, and the third.
But you come up with something, though.
Yeah,
as a woman, you come up with something.
Yeah, I come up pleased.
So you don't have no expectations?
Yeah, the expectation.
You don't have no feelings? You don't have no thoughts?
The expectation is, again, that we're having some great sex. That's all it is. Why does it have to be I'm all caught up and I'm emotionally connected to this person? It's he was fine, he had a big dick, or he didn't have a big dick, he had a big tongue, he's going to use it properly, and then that's it. How come that just can't be it? Why does it have to be some excuse for why people do what they do?
I mean, it's not an excuse. I just don't think women should... We're made for
it ain't no you don't think
random
go ahead Joe
random sex just random sex and it's just weird. I mean, yeah, I'm all for women being liberated, but gosh, why do you have to be out having casual sex, ladies? Why can't you have great sex in the relationship or in your marriage? Why do you have to be having casual sex and then you have all this sex and you leave nothing for your husband, or you need nothing for a good guy that's with you because you didn't have all this casual sex? I just don't think women should do it. I hate sounding judgmental, but I just, that disturbs my life.
I mean, but here's the thing, though. It's not like the woman is saying, oh, I don't want to be in a relationship and this, that, and the third. It's saying, okay, I'm not in a relationship. I have needs just like a man has needs, and I want to have sex. Okay.
Get an operator. I'm just kidding on that part.
Well, no, I don't think that it boils down to men being able to do it and women just shouldn't do it. They should do it within the confines, because I believe that you're putting borders on it again. I don't think a woman is any more whore than a man is to have a one-night stand or to meet somebody and decide. I believe that two adults understanding the ramifications and the results of a sexual experience
can choose to do that.
What I believe, though, is that when women choose to do that, that it's not just that cut and dry. It's not just that black and white.
It's not black and white because that's what you decided.
No, women honestly were not originally created. Just like you went back to the originality of it in biblical forms, we were not created that way. We do have to get to a point to where we become that. You know, where it's easier for men to do whatever they're doing. Women, honestly, you have to honestly admit, Deidre, that the majority of women are not that, which clearly says that you have to honestly get there because of things that have happened.
Okay, but are women not there because of how they have been raised, that it's a secret and sex and you're not supposed to know? I mean, you have tons of women who don't know their body. They don't know that the clitoris is on your body specifically for pleasure. And if I've been raised to believe that I'm only supposed to do it when people say that this is right, or when this is here and it's supposed to be with a man and it's supposed to be in a relationship, of course they're going to feel like sex is wrong and I shouldn't be having casual sex.
No, because that has nothing to do with emotion. Women are emotional creatures. We have sex for a reason. whether it be to feel good, to get attention, to tell, to have being said to us that we're beautiful, to be, I mean, all of that. It's an emotional thing with women. So if we did not have that emotional issue, then yes, I could agree to you. But you honestly have to say that we wrap emotion up in everything, everything, which there brings us to the point that it means something. Everything means something.
Thank you, Therese, for that comment. And ladies and gentlemen, we thank you tonight for sharing with us on Amongst Friends. It has been an interesting night where we've talked about sex and what it means to women. This has been part two of a series of What Sex Means to Men and Women, and we appreciate you joining us. For those of you who joined us on Facebook, in the Blog Talk chat room, and right here online with us, we appreciate you joining us tonight. We don't take it for granted. So on behalf of Amongst Friends, we say thank you for joining us. Please meet us back here on next Wednesday night at 8 p.m. sharp. That's January the 26th at 8 p.m. right here on Blog Talk, where we'll be discussing I Would Submit, But. That's right. Next week's topic is I Would Submit, But. Please join us at 8 p.m. January 26th. Thank you. Good night, folks.
Good night.